have two scripture readings for today. The first one is from the Psalter, Psalm 119, verses 103 through 105. O God, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your teachings, I gain understanding. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there too. For that is what I have come out to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite Polly up here. We're going to have a conversation about the means of grace. And we're going to share particularly today about two important means of grace. And I'll introduce those in just a moment. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it's so good to have her up here with me. I feel so much better. You know, some relationships that we have with people, particularly in marriage, could be a means of grace for us. One of the ways in which we are strengthened in our faith with God. And so thank you for our relationship that we have. Reuben Job was one of the best bishops that our church has ever had. Bishop Reuben Job. He's been deceased a couple of years. I'm still reading some of his stories that are so inspiring. He grew up in North Dakota. And he shares this story about when he was in first grade. When he was in first grade, he contracted scarlet fever, and he was very sick. He was delirious for a couple of weeks. But then he simply rested in bed, and his mother and his father cared for him. He was sick for a year. But when he was finally able to sit up, this is what his mother did for him. His mother made him a comfortable little nest to sit beside the window to allow the sunlight to shine upon him and allow him to bask in its healing glow and warmth. And as he looked outside the window, he could see his father working in the fields. He could hear his mother nearby in the house, cooking in the kitchen. And he felt the comfort of his parents' love. In the cold of winter, he felt the warmth of the sunlight on his skin. It was a long year of recovery, but as he looked back on it, the happiest memories of his childhood, he says, were spent beside the window, basking in the sunlight, surrounded by the love of his parents. Now that story is a good way to kind of illustrate what a means of grace is. What are the means of grace? The means of grace are those habits and practices that place us in a position to receive the sunlight of God's grace, to receive the healing warmth of his love, to experience God's peace and God's presence and God's power. those means of grace or those habits and practices that place us beside the window so that we can receive what God wants to give us. And what does God want to give us? He wants to give us everything that we need in order to more faithfully follow Jesus. And that's what grace is. God giving us these gifts that are unmerited. Today we're going to talk about two specific spiritual disciplines or two specific means of grace. We're going to talk about, first of all, Scripture. And then we'll talk about prayer. Polly, I was wondering if you could share with our congregation today some of the ways that you practice the means of grace of Scripture.
Well, first of all, what a blessing and grace-filled it is to be your wife for almost 9 years.
Yes.
In April. I have learned so much about God through our marriage and also learned about myself. And here's something I realized. My husband is a reader. If you've ever been to his office, the first time I walked in, I'm like, oh my. I've never owned or seen that many books except in a library. And I knew that he really studies the Word by reading. And have I read the Bible? Yes. And do I study God's Word by reading it? Yes. But here's what I realized in the 9 years that we've been married is I'm a listener. How I determine that is when we leave here, I say to William, I can pretty much quote a sermon, and he's like, uh-oh. That I learn by listening, and I'm also a visual person. So what I realized is God's Word comes to us in a lot of different applications. Someone, my sister, sent me a little note and said, hey, have you ever heard of the YouVersion app? It is the Bible, and you can search Scriptures, but also you can listen to it. And I know there's been Bibles on tape, but I want you to hear this. This is one of the Scriptures William just read. So when people say, have you read the Bible all the way through? I say, yes, because I've listened to it. I listened to the Bible all the way through. I started in Genesis and went all the way through Revelation. It took me about a year and a half to do that. I did it while I was walking the dog, cooking in the kitchen, spending time in art. And that's where this other piece comes in. I said I was a listener and visual. Aiden, could you put that picture up? So I've mentioned this before. I do prayerful art journaling, and I brought a couple of my journals. So this is where the Scripture comes in. You can see in this picture, it's a page in the journal that I'm doing this Lent. William and I are doing a Bible study called Embracing the Uncertain. And this is the first page that you see up there. And you see their Scripture on their Psalm 15:1. And so do you see how I've taken Scripture and I've illustrated that? That's supposed to be me sitting on rocks with the uncertain and unknown and God calling me to trust. And I'm watching, I'm praying, and I'm listening. When I look at a picture I've done in a journal, the Scripture might not even be written, but by the picture that I've drawn, I can tell you what the Scripture is. Do you see how God has used the gifts that He's given me of listening and visual to study the Scriptures? So that's how I have come to study the Scriptures. Very different than William. Also, if I'm going to memorize something, you all have seen William and I do biblical storytelling. I put on my headphones and I walk. And I listen over and over until it becomes part of me. So that's how I can quote Scripture. I used to try to read it, but I realized I'm definitely a listener. And that's how God's made me.
And I think that's pretty neat. And some of you out there may want to consider listening to the Bible. Particularly when you want to listen to long segments of the Bible. But I do want to share this one story with you. When Polly and I were dating, I wanted to get to know her better. She wanted to get me know me better. And so I said, you know, Polly, this book right here, if you'll read this book, you know, and, you know, I underline lots of things. And I just love this book. But if you read this book, you'll understand more who I am. So, and I gave her the book. I noticed she didn't particularly smile or anything, but yeah, I'm trying to help her to understand me.
And I did look at the passages you highlighted.
Yes, yes, yes. And so then the next time we got together, I asked her if she read the book. She said she'd read the underlined passages. And then she says, I have this CD of songs. And if you'll listen to track 9, you'll understand me. Because she's a listener. But why do we do the spiritual disciplines and the means of grace? What is the difference that it's supposed to make in our lives? We just don't do these things to be doing them. We do these things as a means for God to make a change in our life. Can you share with me, Polly, the difference that the means of grace of Scripture has meant in your life?
Sure. It keeps me connected to God. In this world, you know, the Scriptures say that we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. And I don't know about you, but when I leave my house or I'm out there with other people, it's hard. And what I've realized by searching the Scripture, listening to the Scripture each day, I'm filled up. Does that make sense? When I leave the house, I'm filled up with God's Word. And what I've realized by searching the Scripture and listening to it, that it's starting to come out all the time. When I meet people or someone says something to me, all of a sudden that Scripture is coming out, and I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? That's because it's feeding my soul. And, you know, they say junk in, junk out. I'm putting good stuff in, into my brain. And what I'm realizing is that, I know we're going to talk about prayer next, but when I pray with people, I don't really have to come up with anything because I'm saying the words of the Bible and God's Word and Jesus's Word, because searching the Scriptures, again, I found the connection for me. I wish I would have found this a long time ago, but I found it. And it's making a difference by listening to it and then visually doing it in art, because that's how God's created me. So if someone says, I don't quite get it, I might show them a picture and they understand it. Because that's, so it keeps me connected to God in a very intimate and special way.
At the times that we don't practice these habits, how do we feel generally after a couple of days?
Sometimes, you know, the day rushes in and we don't do it, and I feel disconnected. Do you all know what I mean? Heavy. Why can't I seem to get moving or inspired? And as soon as I connect back in, like a power source, I'm back on the path. And William wanted me to share with you, the past 3 years I've done a Lent study, and I've done a journal. And so, you know, it says it takes 28 days to make a habit or break a habit. This is 40 days. And after those 40 days, it's amazing. And I know you've seen the difference even since I've started the one that we just started on February 14th.
And what's really neat is we can spur one another on. You know, there's times when she'll say, now, have you done your means of grace today? And I'll say, how did you know I didn't do it? So we can spur one another on. But you already mentioned prayer. Tell us a little bit more about how you practice the means of grace of prayer.
Okay, so I mentioned the prayerful art journaling, and I brought a few journals. And if you want to come up and look at these, not everyone is drawn. Some of them, I find pictures. If you could just hold up that cover, you see this girl is looking down at her feet. So I find pictures that inspire me. A couple years ago, people kept telling me, I was doing this on my own, and someone said, have you met Kathy Ammon? I'm like, no. Then I'd meet someone else. They're like, have you met Kathy Ammon? You know, after the third person tells you, you better track down Kathy Ammon. I did. She was at Apex United Methodist Church, and they have an art studio over there called Threshold Art Studio. She has a group of women that get together and do prayerful art journaling. Isn't that neat? I showed her what I had been doing. She's like, you're pretty much doing what we do. We have a visual prompt. We filled with scripture, and then we turn on music, and for 45 minutes you walk around the studio, pick up supplies, create your page. At the end of that time, if you feel like sharing, you share. Y'all, what comes out of it, the same prompt with 10 different women, is amazing. It's how God is working on you, and it becomes a prayer. It really becomes a prayer. You know, I could talk all day on this, right, honey?
Yes.
William thinks it's funny because when I first started this, I did watercolor like that. So I just had a pen and some watercolor pencils. Now I have a whole studio. Right, Noel? Because I introduced someone else to this, and we started making it with acrylic paint and stencils, and that's how it's grown, but it feeds my soul. I use a prompt, and there's usually a prayer in there, and that's how it's helped me pray. It's a continual conversation, and so when I'm creating for an hour, I might have ambient music. Do y'all know what that is? Like, just instrumental with no words playing, like a spa music, or so my mind is allowing it to be mindful and pray. And as I'm creating it, I have a continual conversation with God. I may be praying for people, for myself, for the nation, but what I'm doing is creating from my heart and soul, devoted to Him. And I sense His presence when I'm doing art. As William said, that special place that you feel that His arms are around you and warm. And as I engage in that passion, I've rediscovered I'm renewed each time. And this is my prayer time.
Thank you for sharing that and the difference it's made in your life. And one of the things we wanted to point out to you is, see, there's a different fit for everybody. You know, you don't have to force yourself to do something that somebody else said, well, this is what I do, and this is the way you should do it, too. You know, try different things out. And you know, it's sort of like going to a store, and you see something you want to wear, but you need to get the right size, and you need some help with that. And, you know, that's what God wants. He created us uniquely and individually. We each have a kind of a shape. So, you know, find something that fits. And when she landed on art, I saw her change so much. She got connected with something that she'd let go many, many years ago. And now God is using it through art to bring her closer to Him, using scripture and using prayer. It makes a big difference. I wanted to say one other thing before we go on to the next segment of this conversation. Do you remember on Transfiguration Sunday, which was the Sunday I kind of wanted to set up the upcoming Lent season? And I was talking about, there are basically three words that tell us what Lent's about. It's a time of preparation, and the three words are watch. The three words are listen, watch, and pray. She remembered that. And when she went home later on, that's why on that particular first page of the art journal for Lent, there were those phrases, listen, watch, and pray. Those are the themes of Lent. And I thought that was so neat that that she created that, having heard me say that those are three ways that we can keep a holy Lent. Well, in the life of Jesus, Scripture was very, very, very important. It was fundamental to Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus knew Scripture Himself. And it was a powerful source of strength for Jesus. And it was very, very important for Jesus. Now, in the life of John Wesley, this is what he said. He too believed in the means of grace of Scripture. He wrote this: here then I am, far from the ways of men. I sit down alone, Only God is here. In His presence, I open and I read His book. And that made me think of an early childhood experience that I had. My next door neighbor gave me a little small little Psalms and New Testament book. And it had my name in it. It was King James Version. It's a little bit hard to understand. But before I'd go to sleep at night, I'd keep it near the bed. I would read something in the Psalms. And of course, you know the King James language. O Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before You brought forth the mountains, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting and everlasting, Thou art God. Well, I would read it. And to tell you the truth, most of the time I didn't really understand what it was about. But I can assure you of this. When I was placing myself before God's Word, seeking God, those words enabled me to experience God, which is what it's all about. You see, the theological task that, of us as Methodists is that scriptures are important. As we open our minds and hearts to the Word of God that comes to us through the words of human beings inspired by the Holy Spirit, faith is born and nurtured, our understanding is deepened, and the possibilities for transforming this world become apparent to us. You see, the authority that the Bible really has is that it has the power to bring about an encounter between us and God. And so even as a little boy, I couldn't put it into words back then, I can now. I really felt God's presence and peace when I placed myself before His Word and before Him. Now we come to prayer, and we see again that in Jesus' life, prayer was very fundamental. In the scripture for the day, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there He prayed. How many times throughout scripture do you see how Jesus got away and prayed? It was simply fundamental to His life. John Wesley said that prayer is the chief means of grace. It's the chief means of drawing us near to God. So these are two important means of grace, Scripture and prayer. And we each have a way in which we can practice it that sort of fits us. And you've heard Polly speak a little bit. You've heard me speak a little bit. And now I want to give you a challenge. As we go through the rest of Lent, I want you to think about the ways that perhaps you can practice Scripture as a means of grace in your life, and how you can practice prayer as a means of grace in your life. And speaking about Scripture, here's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for you to think about a passage, not very long. It could be like the psalm that we had today, Psalm 103 through 105. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Your teachings, I gain understanding. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A small little passage in Scripture. I want you to choose something that you can read every day and just think about. You can read it and meditate upon it. You can study it. I'd like for you to take that passage and to read it every day, study it, and to reflect upon it. And ask yourself, is there anything that I can do to act to apply this Scripture in my life? So I want you to find a passage somewhere that you can utilize as your means of grace for the rest of Lent. Now, when it comes to prayer, I'd like for you to think about a prayer that you could pray every day. There are all kinds of examples of prayers, a written prayer that you can pray. You heard Chrissy talk earlier about the prayer of, Lord, make me an instrument of Thy peace. That's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Find a prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is a great model. But I want you to find a prayer that you pray every day. And here's how I want you to use this as a means of grace. I want you to slow down when you read the words. I want you to pray slowly so you can listen to the words. I want you to reflect upon what's being said. I want you to take time to listen to God after you pray that prayer. And I'd like for you to spend moments of quietness in His presence. And perhaps that prayer that you use can lead you into a real attitude of prayer. When you can do palms down, palms up. I share this with a lot of people. You imagine that Christ is seated before you, and He wants to know about the things that are weighing you down. So with your hands, your palms down, you just tell Him one by one the things that you've been worrying about, the things that's bothered you, the things you feel bad about. You just, anything that's burdened you, you name them and speak them to Jesus. And when you don't think there's anything else, you just imagine Jesus saying, "Is that it?" And you say, "That's it." And then you turn your hands up, and you're quiet, and Jesus says this to you. Imagine Him saying these words to you. "You've given those things to Me. Don't take them back. I've got them. But now I want to give you something. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And Jesus starts giving you things that you need. Strength, hope, encouragement, peace, forgiveness. You keep your hands open, palms open, because you receive these gifts. And then after a while, you feel that you have received what you need to live that day well. And then you spend a little time in quietness, and you close the prayer out. Amen. I think you'd be surprised that by the end of Lent, if you were to practice these two spiritual disciplines or means of grace, that you would begin to develop some habits that will really help you, not just for Lent, but for your lifetime. You see, here's what I believe. Every single person in here, or every single person that I meet, needs to experience the grace of God in a way that's personal, convincing, and life transforming. I've said that in prisons, and I've seen God's grace change lives. And then I've asked myself, if God can do that in prisons, why can't He do that in churches? Well, I've said that in churches, and I've seen God change lives. And so I believe that. I believe that what we need in our world today is grace, is mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, grant us Your grace. We're to live out of the overflow of God's grace in such a way that when we encounter people in our lives, in our daily walk, because we spent time with Jesus through Scripture or through prayer or whatever other means of grace, it makes a difference in how we treat people. How we get along with people, what we do with people, how we serve people. It's strengthened our marriage. Sometimes we pray together and sometimes we read the Scripture together. But I've shared with Polly, here's the way we're going to make it in our marriage. You can't be God for me, and I can't be God for you. We each individually need to go to God for that unconditional love, to give us what we need. And then when we're filled up, we can love one another and we can love others. And fellas, I want to tell you something. Praying with your wife, it works.
And ladies, I'll tell you, praying with your husband, it works because he's your spiritual covering.
And I want to tell you who are single out there, and I was single most of my life. Single, married, it doesn't make a difference. Find someone. Find a group of people. Join a small group. And do these things together. You don't have to do the Christian life alone. God will bring people into your life. There are people here right now that could be your friend that could help you with these things. But the invitation for prayer is simply this. Come forth as you endeavor to receive God's grace in the way that you need it today and to live it out as you go through the season of Lent. Let us stand.